Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Mrs. Smith was 99 years old, and because of the big birthday, her family had decided to give her a great big family party. To which there were lots of people invited, including the local vicar, who was a mere stripling at 50. So where's Max? A mere stripling at 50. Anyway, the party was a great success, and at the end of it, the vicar decided to go and say thanks ever so much. So he went to Mrs. Smith, and he sort of bent down and sort of shook her hand and said, thank you so much for inviting Mrs. Smith. I hope that one year from today, I'll be able to join you again and celebrate your 100th birthday. To which she looked at him with a very withering look and said, I don't see why not, young man. You look pretty healthy to me. So not quite the expected response. But then, you know, in life, things are not always as we expect. I mean, who on earth could have expected a pandemic or all the stuff that's happened? We just don't expect anything or everything. And yet, do you know what? We all have expectations of people, of situations, of life, don't we? I mean, you, I suspect, had, all of you had expectations about the service here this morning. I mean, if you've been before, you might have expected that we might have had some songs. You might have expected there might be some prayers or a Bible reading or something. You might not have expected that we'd be marching, doing sort of, you know, army sort of stuff. For Max and Adelaide's sake, I wonder what your expectations were. How would you have felt, you know, if you'd walked in and you found a bring and buy sale with coffee and donuts? Don't answer that. But you know, we all come with expectations, don't we, of stuff. And in that first reading that the Grace brought to us, Philip, one of the disciples, brought his friend Nathaniel, and he'd got expectations about what the Messiah, who was the saviour who was promised, he'd got expectations which didn't include that the Messiah would come from Nazareth, which at the time was absolutely dirt poor. And it was little more than a few cave dwellings. And so he just didn't expect that. And yet, his expectations, although they were unrealistic and wrong, were surpassed. So, you will know, those of you that are regular members here, that at the beginning of next month in July, we're expecting a new curate. So visitors, we're expecting a new curate who's going to come and be ordained on the 2nd of July to come and work with Max. And when I was in parish ministry, when I was a parish vicar, I had four curates. And I always thought it was really important that we as a community had right expectations about what our curate is going to do and how they're going to be. Now, our new curate is called Jill, and she comes here with two children. Sadly, she was recently widowed. Her husband died very young from cancer. So she's been through life. She was a police inspector before thinking about ordination. I've known Jill quite a while because Jill credits herself with bringing my daughter and son-in-law together. Because Jill's a police inspector, and Becky and Mike were both members of her team. And I don't know whether this is true, but she says, oh, she brought them together. So anyway, whatever, I'm very eternally grateful to Jill. But Jill is going to be moving here. So I'm going to talk to us just for a while this morning about us and our part in what Jill is going to be doing. So my job, if you don't know me, I'm Peter Hall, and I work for the Diocese of Portsmouth. I used to be a vicar like Max, but now I work in the diocese and I help people to try and find the place where they think God's calling them to. So if that's in some form of lay ministry, I'll help them do that. Or in Jill's case, Jill felt a real calling to be ordained. And I journeyed with Jill as she went through the national selection process, as she's been training locally. And I will be there at her ordination to sort of give her away. And I give away to somebody else, well, to Max, really. But in the service, there's a bit that sort of, that they say, the bishop will say, have they been duly called and trained? And I stand up and I say, they have. And that's a bit like at the wedding service, where somebody says, who brings this woman to be married to this man? And the father of the bride says, I do. So I'm like the father of the ordinance. And I'm going to be giving Jill away at the beginning of the month. But she's going to be placed here in Bedhampton. Now, I wanted to say to you, first of all, that it's a real honour for a parish to get a curate, because they are as rare as hen's teeth. So this year, we have got three stipendiary, that's paid curates. We've got other curates who are giving of their time free of charge, but we've only got three in the whole diocese of Portsmouth, and we're getting one. So that's really good, isn't it? And we choose the parishes really carefully. We only choose parishes to place curates where there's life and where there's growth and where things are going on. So that's really good. And we only place them with training comers, of which Max is going to be one, that we trust are going to encourage our curates, and that they're not going to be threatened by having somebody new and lively and enthusiastic with them. So from a diocesan point of view, the diocese thinks we're okay as a parish, and really, well, they think Max is okay to train someone. So that's a great endorsement. Because the reality is, Jill's going to be spending a lot of time with Max, and she will be having a lot of his time and his energy over the next 4 years. So, you know, we've got to be mindful of that and not be jealous in the sense that Max might be spending more time with Jill than he will with us. But, you know, it's not just down to Max. You know, Jill has been placed in a parish. I don't know if you know that saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Have you heard that? It takes a village to raise a child. Well, I want to tell you, it takes a parish to train a curate. So absolutely every single one of us who will spend time with Jill, we are a part, an important part of Jill's training, because it takes a parish to train a curate. And do you know what? As we get to know her, I think you're going to know that God has sent us somebody who's really amazing. She's got really, really lovely family in Hope and Esther. Do you know what? In the Bible, in the New Testament, right at the end, there are some letters. And some of them are written by Paul. And Paul, who was an apostle, wrote a description of Christians. And he said, Christians are like jars of clay. That's what he writes in 2 Corinthians. Christians are like jars of clay. In other words, they're ordinary, they're fallible, and they're breakable. You know, we're like jars of clay. And Jill, who I've known for many years, is a jar of clay. But, you know, Paul goes on to say, Christians are like jars of clay, they're ordinary. But you know what? They've got treasure inside them. They've got the gospel of Jesus. And I know that's absolutely true of Jill. Yeah, she's vulnerable, she's fallible, but she's got real treasures. And she's coming here to share those treasures with us. And our responsibility, folks, is to treasure Jill. To absolutely, really look after her. To help mould her. Because you know what? What she learns here, and the experience she has in Bedhampton, will set her up for probably 20 years of ministry. Max shared that he had a lovely curacy, as did I. And I had people in the parish. You know, this year, really scary, the end of the month, I would have been ordained 30 years. Where did that go? Where did those years go? But I had a wonderful curacy of people who treasured me and who looked after me. And I think we need to have realistic expectations right at the beginning of our relationship with Jill, if that's going to be a treasuring time for Jill. And I've just got a couple of things that I'd like us to bear in mind as we travel with Jill. Or maybe, you know, folks, if you come across Jill in and around the parish, you might think this as well. The first thing to remember is, really important, Jill is not perfect. Okay? Get that from the start. She is not perfect. A boy once went to a supermarket, a teen, to ask for some Persil to wash his cat. And the person in the shop said, do you know what, I don't think Persil is designed for cat washing. But the teenage boy said, no, it'll be fine. So he bought the Persil and went away. And the next week came back to the supermarket, where actually the same assistant was still around, and said, oh, how's your cat? And the boy said, oh, it's dead. And the assistant sort of had that "I told you so" look and said, "Well, do you know what? I did tell you that Persil wasn't good for cats." He said, "Oh no, it wasn't the Persil. It was the spin cycle that did for her." Do you know, we all make mistakes, perhaps not as big as that. And Jill is a jar of clay. And I want you to really remember this sentence. She will make mistakes, and she will make them on us. Hear that again? She will make mistakes on us. That's an absolute given. But you know what? The mark of a mature church is that you don't get upset. I once heard a phrase that said, "Custard Christians, they get upset by trifles." Have you heard that? You know, the mark of a really mature church is that we bear with people, that we love them, that we care for them, that we forgive them when they make mistakes. And Jill will absolutely do that. And we lovingly help her to grow through that. So Jill's not perfect, number one. Number two is, despite the fact that she will turn up at our church in her dog collar, looking, you know, incredibly professional, Jill is still a trainee. Point number two, Jill is still a trainee. A curacy is the second part of Jill's training. The first part is that she's done at college. That's the first. The second is that she's going to put that into practice, in a sense, on us. But she's still a trainee. And therefore, she won't be able to do things immediately, very quickly. Now, Max and I have been ordained quite a while. And we can do things quickly. You know, that's true of any job, isn't it? When you get used to it, you do it really quickly. Jill hasn't got that yet. And she will grow into that. So she will take longer to do things. So we'll need to bear with her. She'll also be taken away from us for training opportunities. And again, we don't need to get upset at that. That's great, because we're investing in Jill. Max will be investing in Jill. The diocese investing in Jill. So that we can send her at the end of 4 years to go and be the most amazing minister somewhere else. So that's the second thing. The third really important thing is that Jill is human and she has human needs. She's not some superhuman woman that's going to come in and save the parish. She is a human being. And she's got human needs. Now, Jill has moved already into Warren Park, which is where the house that she's living in. But she's moved after a very, very long time from Hayling Island. Jill doesn't know anybody around here. Her children don't know anybody around here. And they're going to need Christian friends as they minister. So what I'd like to encourage us to do is to welcome her, to, you know, invite her around for coffee, get to know her, invite her for a meal. It will mean such a lot. And the other thing that we could do is we could go to the ordination. So the ordination service, it says on the bottom of our little prayer card, is that it's on the 2nd of July at 11 o'clock. You see, the added bonus of going that is you will hear me say, they have. You'll hear me give away Jill. But the really important thing for Jill is that she will know right from the start that she's coming to a place that will love and treasure her. When I was ordained 30 years ago, there was only one person from my curacy parish who came to my ordination. And she had to be there because her son was in the cathedral choir. Nobody else came. And I was really shocked, because I thought I was going to a lovely place, which I was. But you know, if we can come and be there at the ordination, and just say to Jill, you should be surrounded by family, but just say, "Hi, I'm John from Bedhampton, and I'm just here to support you." That will mean the absolute world to Jill and will really help her to fly. And the other thing Jill will need is she'll need balance. So I'm looking at Max now, and I know that Max will nag her to take her day off and to take all her holidays, because she's going to need that as she's going to be with us. And the last thing is that Jill needs to receive from us in order that she can give out. I was reading an article in a Christian magazine a while ago, and it was 10 top tips to love your boss. So maybe those of you who are in employment, you might think, "Oh, I might be able to do this with my boss." But whether or not you do it with your boss, we really ought to be doing this sort of stuff with our curate. So I've changed it to 10 top tips to love your curate. But if you want to do it, 10 top tips to love your boss, and think in your work context, Fleur, that will be really, really helpful. The first one is, it said in this article, caffeine service. Everyone needs a coffee now and again. So that's the whole, you know, just serve people. Realise that they've got needs. The second one is pray for them. You know, whether or not you work with Christians, man, let's pray for them. If we're Christians, then we can do that for the people we work for. And clearly, Jill is a Christian, so let's pray for her. And the couple of things Jill has already asked for, she said she'd really like prayer for leaving her church. She's been at a church, St. Albans in Wesley, and they as a family have been loved there. And she knows that she's going to leave there at the end of the month. And she says she'd like us to pray for emotional strength. And that tells me that Jill is going to come here and get emotionally involved with us. She's not going to come and play at being the curate. You know, she's going to absolutely love us and be with us. And I think that's a really, really exciting thing. So let's pray for Jill. Third one is share the load. Help her. If she needs help doing something, and she will, then say yes. Celebrate achievements is the fourth one. Do you know, we get very, in clergy, we get very little feedback from people, unless it's negative, I have to say. But celebrate achievements. If Jill has done something well, and, you know, the first time, we clapped Grace, didn't we? And I hope I hope Grace feels really encouraged, because it does take quite a bit of courage to stand up and do stuff. So if Jill's done something well, say so. Say you did that really well. If she didn't, we'll do it kindly. Okay, celebrate the good things. So the next thing is a negativity ban. Negativity can be awful. I know that from working in an office. You know, I worked in the NHS for 10 years before I was ordained. Negativity can be such a drain, can't it, if you work with people who are always negative. So have a, you know, don't grumble, and take any issues to Jill first. You know, don't go sneaking off to Max or anybody else. Talk it out with Jill. The next one, it said in the thing, it said hug your boss, and I'm thinking, oh golly, I can remember my boss in the NHS, and, you know, that would have been, you know, the end of my career, really. But you might want to give Jill a hug. Jill's a very huggy woman. So, but think very carefully about if you're gonna do this at work. Be appropriate. The next thing it said in the article was face-to-face. Communicate face-to-face. If there are issues, do it face-to-face. Don't send an email. Do you know, I sent an email this week, and it wasn't a nasty email, but I pushed reply all instead of the just to the person. And I then had to go through and just check what I'd said. And I was fine. But, you know, do face-to-face stuff. The next thing it said was keep a truth belt. Make sure that however you work with your boss or with Jill, do it in love and do it in truth. And the last two are relate yourself. It says put yourself in the curate's or the boss's shoes. It's easy to point the finger, isn't it? But what would we do if we were in their shoes? And then finally, it says, be an initiative taker. Come and say, I've got this idea, Jill. What do you think? What can you help me with? Because that would be really, really good. So just bringing things to a close. We need to have right expectations of Jill before she arrives. And I think we have, because from a diocesan point of view, we wouldn't have placed Jill here if we didn't think you were really good people. And as a member of the congregation, I would count myself in that. So let's get our expectations right. In our Bible reading, Nathanael's expectations of Jesus were just wrong. He said, oh, Nazareth, that terrible place. Can anything good come from there? But he had his expectations turned on their heads. Now, in any relationship, or actually any adventure, any good relationship, any good adventure, there's risk involved, isn't there? So for Nathanael, he took a risk. Philip said, look, come and see. 3 million put words, come and see. And Nathanael came and saw. His mind was just blown away. We are taking a risk having Jill. But you know what? She's taking a bigger risk coming here and working with Max and with us. It is risk-filled. But you know, Jill has heard the call and she's heard God say, come and see. Come and see these people at St. Thomas's and St. Nick's. They're going to help grow you as a minister. And I believe we've heard that call to come and see about Jill as well. And I hope that we are going to have amazing time together. The end of our reading said this. Jesus said to Nathanael, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. But you will see greater things than that. You will see greater things than that. And I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, I do not know if we are going to see heaven open and we're going to see angels descending on Jill. But God knows. You know, and we are in really, really safe hands because the Lord is absolutely in this. I don't know what the next 4 years are going to be like. But God knows. But I do know this. It will be exciting and it will be unpredictable. And that's really, really good. And I think if we bear all these things in mind as we welcome Jill at the end of the month and as we travel with her through the next 4 years, I think that we're going to have a wonderful time with Jill and her daughters. And she's going to have a wonderful time with us. So why don't we just take a moment just to pause and to hold Jill and Hope and Esther just in our minds as we pray for them. Lord God, we thank you so much that women and men are hearing your call to follow you, to come and see what you're doing. We thank you for Jill, for her faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for her faith in Max and in us, that she's coming to a place that will treasure and nurture her. Help us, Father, to have right and good expectations as we welcome them and we journey with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.